The Old Testament reading comes from Ecclesiastes chapter 5, verses 10 through 20. He who loves money will not be satisfied with money, nor he who loves wealth with his income. This also is vanity. When goods increase, they increase who eat them. And what advantage has their owner but to see them with his eyes? Sweet is the sleep of a laborer, whether he eats little or much, but the full stomach of the rich will not let him sleep. There is a grievous evil that I have seen under the sun. Riches were kept by their owner to his hurt, and those riches were lost in a bad venture. And he is father of a son, but he has nothing in his hand. As he came from his mother's womb, he shall go again, naked as he came, and shall take nothing for his toil that he may carry away in his hand. This also is a grievous evil. Just as he came, so shall he go. And what gain is there to him who toils for the wind? Moreover, all his days he eats in darkness, in much vexation and sickness and anger. Behold, what have I seen to be good and fitting is to eat and drink and find enjoyment in all the toil with which one toils under the sun, the few days of his life that God has given him. For this is his lot. Everyone also to whom God has given wealth and possessions and power to enjoy them and to accept his lot and rejoice in his toil. This is the gift of God. For he will not much remember the days of his life because God keeps him occupied with joy in his heart. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
The epistle this morning comes from Hebrews chapter 4, verses 1 through 13. Therefore, while the promise of entering his rest still stands, let us fear lest any of you should seem to have failed to reach it. For good news came to us just as to them, but the message they heard did not benefit them, because they were not united by faith with those who listened. For we have believed, enter that rest, as he has said, as I swore in my wrath, they shall not enter my rest, although his works were finished from the foundation of the world. For he has somewhere spoken of the seventh day in this way, and God rested on the seventh day from all his works. And again, in this passage, he said, they shall not enter my rest. Since therefore it remains for some to enter it, and those who formerly received the good news failed to enter because of disobedience, again he appoints a certain day, today, saying through David so long afterward in the words already quoted, today, if you hear his voice, do not harden your hearts. For if Joshua had given them rest, God would not have spoken of another day later on. So then, there remains a Sabbath rest for the people of God, for whoever has entered God's rest has also rested from his works as God did from his. Let us therefore strive to enter that rest so that no one may fall by the same sort of disobedience. For the word of God is living and active, sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing to the division of soul and of spirit, of joints and of marrow, and discerning the thoughts and intentions of the heart. And no creature is hidden from his sight, but all are naked and exposed to the eyes of him to whom we must give account. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God. Please rise for the Alleluia verse.
Lord, to whom shall we go? You have the words of eternal life.
The Holy Gospel according to St. Mark, the 10th chapter. Jesus looked around and said to his disciples, "How difficult
it will be for those who have wealth to enter the kingdom of God. And the disciples were amazed at his words. But Jesus said to them again, "Children, how difficult it is to enter the kingdom of God. It is easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for a rich person to enter the kingdom of God." And they were exceedingly astonished and said to him, "Then who can be saved?" Jesus looked at them and said, "With man it is impossible, but not with God. For all things are possible with God." Peter began to say to him, "See, we have left everything and followed you." Jesus said, "Truly I say to you, there is no one who has left house or brother or sister or mother or father or children or lands for my sake and for the gospel who will not receive 100-fold now in this time. Houses and brothers and sisters and mothers and children and land with persecution. In the age to come, eternal life. But many who are first will be last, and the last first." This is the gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, O Christ.
May be seated for the hymn of the day.
But thine own, whate'er the gift may be, all that we have is thine alone, a trust, O Lord, from thee.
Grace, mercy, and peace from God our Father and from our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Our text, "And Jesus looked around and said to his disciples, how difficult it will be for those who have wealth to enter the kingdom of God. It is easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for a rich man to enter the kingdom of God." Aren't you glad you're not rich? I'm not sure what it is like to really be poor, especially what it was like to be poor in Jesus' day. But my hunch is they didn't know much about the rich. And there probably wasn't such a thing as famous. And so when Jesus said these things, the reaction from the disciples were, if the rich can't get into heaven, how are we? How is anyone? Well, today we know better. We know that rich people have problems too. Rich people have the kind of problems maybe sometimes we wish we could have. Maybe, you know, try it on just for a little while, probably not. But I always imagine I could do better with wealth than rich people, but I probably won't ever see that day. Several years ago when I was preparing for a consecration Sunday, I looked up what my wealth was compared to all people of all time. And I couldn't find that this time. But I found another one. And according to it, I fell in the top 30% of the wealthiest people in the United States, in the world. I went, wow. And I presume that all of you fit into the top 50% of the people in the world. I got a little hint of what poverty was like when we were in Guinea, West Africa. The president of the Ghanaian Lutheran Church wasn't even a pastor yet. He was a vicar. And he lived in a mud hut, which we visited. He actually had two huts. He also had two wives, a converted Muslim, wife one and wife two. But thinking about what poverty was like in Jesus' day and even what wealth was like, really, if we looked at our lives and looked at what they had back then, I think Jesus would have been talking to all of us when he said, it's easier for you to go through the eye of a needle on a camel than for you to enter the kingdom of God. That makes it pretty devastating. What I wonder is, are we happier today with the wealth that we have? I mean, that lesson from Ecclesiastes did a good job of saying, if you have wealth, you'll want more. And I've heard that everybody thinks if they just made $10,000 more a year, they would be satisfied until they make $10,000 more a year, and then they want to earn another $10,000. And today we see what everybody else has. And if we watch television, we get all these ads thrown at us of what everyone should want. I got started watching all the remodeling shows. And we had built our house, and I thought we had done a really good job of building it, but suddenly it looked pretty poor, you know? In Jesus' day, Jewish people gave 10% of their income to the synagogue. And they paid a temple tax. And they gave to the poor because there was no social services for them. And they paid taxes to Rome. Today in America, only 5% of Americans tithe. And I was kind of surprised that it was even 5%. So today I want to answer the question, why should we talk about money? Of course, biblical stewardship is not just about money, but it is about money. And we usually try to avoid the topic because we're afraid we'll make somebody mad. And as Craig said this morning, we don't give to God because He needs our money. We give because we have a need to give. We have a need to be reminded where all our gifts come from. We have a need to be reminded of the wealth that God has given to our society today. This year, we're going to ask you on November 7th to make an estimate of giving. It's not a pledge. It's not a promise. It's something that I want you to think about and pray about and talk about. What is God moving you to give in 2022? And the reason it's not a pledge is we don't know how God is going to bless us in 2022, right? I mean, we just saw a year that was pretty scary. Well, we saw a couple of years that were pretty scary. I know that my son made more money during the COVID staying home than he did working. I said, did you give that extra to God? And no. I was like, we need to be reminded of all the gifts that God gives us. I always say, if I had been Jesus, I would have come a little later into the world. He came when there was no flush toilets or hot showers, and I think that's a bare minimum. I thought that till I got to Africa, and a hot shower in the morning was to take a dip out of the water barrel and pour it over your head. And don't drink it. I think it does us good to ponder for a few weeks all the benefits that God gives us this day. And it will help you as you continue in the call process to see if, and God is going to bless this congregation, I know this, He will bless you with everything you need to do what His will is for this place. So you get that estimate of giving on the 7th, we'll actually add it all up that day. Only two people are going to see what you give and we'll burn the cards afterwards. We won't come back and haunt you. And that will help you determine your plans for St. Paul's. How many years' experience of a full-time pastor can you be looking at? Can you afford a full-time pastor? There are some other options. You know, there are partnerships with other congregations. There are a few part-time pastors around. There are worker priests that have full-time jobs and work for the church on the weekend and in the evenings. Those are all possibilities. And I think if we looked at the odds of you getting any of them, the odds, the human odds aren't very good, you know. But we're not dealing with human odds. We're dealing with God's plan. And He will provide everything you need for ministry in this place. Because God can do anything. God showed us that when He was willing to sacrifice His own Son to die so that all of our sins could be forgiven. So that you and I, living in this great day of flush toilets and hot showers, can look forward to a time when we will live in much better accommodations, being together with all of God's people for an eternity, being with God, the angels. Everybody should go to St. Louis to listen to chapel and everyone singing in that chapel. It is. You actually can listen to chapel online if you go to their website every week, every day. But incredible sounds. And I thought, this is what heaven's going to be like, you know? Their organist, he's going to be up there, you know, and he's going to be playing even better than he does now. And we're gonna have an eternity of never, ever having to say goodbye to anyone. No loss, no tears. That's how we've been blessed. And God will continue to bless us. And God's will be done in this place. We can count on it. Amen. Now may the peace of God that surpasses all our understanding keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus from now to life everlasting. Amen.